Hello there and welcome to Star Wars Comics in Canon, your guide to the wider Star Wars canon through the comic book lens. And to take you on this journey, I'm your host, Mike Burton. And so brings episode 31. And in this episode, I'm going to center around two specific one-shot comics from the Age of Republic series. So the two that I'm going to be tackling is the Qui-Gon Jinn comic and the Obi-Wan comic. I'm targeting these first because I did the Dooku Age of Republic comic in episode 26, when I did the full Dooku biography, essentially. And then in episode 28, I did the first ever book review on Star Wars Comics in Canon, and I did about Master and Apprentice, which is obviously to do with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, set around 8 years before The Phantom Menace. So I thought I'd tackle these two as well, because if you've been listening to every episode, whether or not you're reading along, if you've been listening to every episode, these bits of information should really give the final pieces of information about Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon as a collective, essentially. Master and Apprentice, mixed with these, should give quite a good insight, as well as the other comics I've tackled, like Obi-Wan and Anakin, which was about, obviously, Obi-Wan and Anakin, just after The Phantom Menace. And there's a few other bits and pieces along the way, but really, in the comic realm, there's only one or two other pieces of information about Obi-Wan Kenobi, and in fact, one of them is going to be the Journals of Old Ben Kenobi, which are obviously stories set between episodes 3 and 4, and they are in the main run of Star Wars comics, and I'm going to be tackling them next week. So any massive Obi-Wan fan, by the end of next week, I think I should have tackled relatively every involvement of Obi-Wan in any of the comics, as well as many other places too. So, yeah, Obi-Wan stuff. For clarity, the series of Age of Republic, I also tackled the Darth Maul Age of Republic comic in episode 1 or 2, I think it was episode 2 of Star Wars Comics in Canon, when I did like a timeline of events for Darth Maul, as in his general biography as well, not dissimilar to the one I did with Dooku. And the other Age of Republic comics to come are going to be General Grievous, Jango Fett and Padme, and then the special. The special has Mace Windu, Asajj Ventress, and Rex in it, to my knowledge. So I'll be tackling them at some point in the future, and then obviously I'll get on to Age of Rebellion, and then also Age of Resistance. So the Age of Republic series itself was written by Jody Hauser, and the Qui-Gon and the Obi-Wan comics were both penciled by Corey Smith. The inker for both was Walden Wong. The colorist for both was Jarva Tartaglia. However, in the Obi-Wan comic, he has the same as those, except Wilton Santos is an additional penciler. So I'm going to start with the Qui-Gon comic first, and then once I've kind of gone through that, I will then go to the Obi-Wan comic, because it's chronological, so yeah, that's mainly the reason I'm doing it. And also, they came out in that order too. So Qui-Gon Jinn 1, the comic itself is called Balance. It was released in December 2018. The Heroes Collection, which includes all of the heroes of Age of Republic, was released in February 2020, and then the hardcover omnibus sort of thing was released February 2020, which includes all heroes and villains of the Age of Republic series. The Obi-Wan comic came out about a month after the Qui-Gon one in January 2019, but I'll repeat that when I go into the Obi-Wan comic. So a bit of information about Qui-Gon. He was born in 80 BBY, so that's 80 years before A New Hope, essentially. And that means that, and this comic was set slightly before The Phantom Menace. And The Phantom Menace was set in 32 years before the Battle of Yavin. So in The Phantom Menace, Qui-Gon is around 48. And for clarity, when I spoke about the Master and Apprentice book, which was set around 80 years before The Phantom Menace, from what I can gather in this, it seems like it is after Master and Apprentice. I can't guarantee that, but it does sort of seem like it is. And for clarity about Qui-Gon, Qui-Gon does appear in the Dooku Jedi Lost audio drama, as well as the Master and Apprentice book and the short story of Master and Apprentice in a certain point of view. He's also in Queen's Peril book. He's in the Clone Wars. He's in like one arc or so, apart from being mentioned here and there. The voice of him can be heard in The Rise of Skywalker as well. And then also you hear his voice in the Ahsoka book as well. He's mentioned elsewhere in passing and things, but that's primarily by Obi-Wan. And the last little thing is that Qui-Gon believes in the living force as well as prophecies. The prophecies information, that's mainly spoken about in Master and Apprentice, and I did tackle that in Master and Apprentice. If you want to go back and listen to six different prophecies, including the Chosen One prophecy that is quoted in the prequel trilogy, you can go back and listen to episode 28 of Star Wars Comics in Canon for that. And then for clarity, there's two types of like force in which Qui-Gon and many other Jedi believe in, but it is quite a subjective thing, the force. It's quite interesting that many different Jedi have slightly different positions on it, but Qui-Gon believes in the living force and the cosmic force, from what I understand in layman's terms, it is basically that the living force is the energy which all life is created by and also generates, while the cosmic force is the thing that binds it all together. So we all have, in theory, the living force living within us, but it's the cosmic force that allows us to be force sensitive. That's generally what it is within the Star Wars universe. So on to the comic itself. As I have already stated, I believe it does take place just after Master and Apprentice, from what I can tell, so I would recommend going back and checking out that episode. And I'm about to read the title crawl, however, be aware the title crawl is one sentence. So here we go. Qui-Gon Jinn in Balance. Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn has long served the Jedi Council and the Galactic Republic faithfully, but his faith in the Jedi and in the Force is about to be tested. Yes, yeah, I told you it was quite short. So, comic starts on the planet Breen, or Britain. It's BRI'N, Britain, something like that. It only appears in this comic, so I'm not going to worry too much about that. And there's a character called Mistress Ther, which is Th'ER, so I'm probably going to pronounce all of these things terribly. The comic starts with Qui-Gon protecting Mistress Ther from blaster fire, deflecting and whatnot. And the reason Qui-Gon's on the planet is because Mistress Ther doesn't want this tree to be cut down. There's another clan of people called the Metal Clan, and they specifically do want to cut the tree down. However, due to the world's laws and traditions and whatnot, they either need her word confirming they're allowed to cut it down, or they need her blood on it, confirming they've basically killed her and can do it. That's the laws, and so they're trying to kill her because she's not agreeing to cut down the tree. Qui-Gon and Ther are getting surrounded by a lot of Metal Clansmen, shooting blasters and whatnot. Qui-Gon is managing to deflect a lot of them, but as I said, he is getting surrounded. And then Obi-Wan manages to fly a ship to pick up Qui-Gon, and then they all go to Coruscant together. As Mistress Ther enters Coruscant, she mentions that it's a city of metal, of course, and that why did the Jedi bring me to an abomination of a world? And for clarity, Coruscant, I don't know how big it is planet-wise, but I know that the population of Coruscant is 1 trillion, which is 1 million million. To show comparatively how much that is compared to planet Earth at the moment has around 8 billion people. So if you think of, essentially, if you added another 2 billion people to Earth, so you increase the percentage of people on Earth by about 25%, and then you times that then full population of people by 100, that will then be around a trillion. So you can really see how much of a huge amount that is, because Coruscant is a planet which is 100% city with loads of levels to it and stuff as well. So that's just in case people weren't aware. And just a bit of flavor text, this Mistress Ther, she is blue skinned, she has some pink pigmentation to certain elements of her, around her eyes and on her arms and things, and she also has these, they look a bit like Montrals coming out of her side. Montrals are what Togrutas have, Shark T and Ahsoka Tano. Twi'leks have something similar, I can't remember what the name is, but basically just fleshy things coming out their head. This is what that woman has. Mistress Ther also says that Jedi were meant to be warriors, and said, "I'd be safe when every member of the Metal Clan is dead. You should strike them down with your lightsaber and end this conflict." And Qui-Gon says that that is not the way, and that she says, "But you fought by my side, you chose my side." And Qui-Gon's like, "Well, I actually defended you." And then Mistress says, "Well, I heard the Jedi were great warriors and things, and legends never hinted at your cowardice," things like that. And that's really troubled Qui-Gon, and he goes and speaks to Yoda. So I just want to read the exchange between Qui-Gon and Yoda. So Qui-Gon relays to Yoda, and Yoda says, "You're not a coward," essentially. And then this is me now reading the exact dialogue. So Qui-Gon says, "Being called a coward isn't what bothered me, Master Yoda. It was being called a great warrior. Even here on Coruscant, the home of the Jedi Council, there is little understanding of our purpose. We are seen as soldiers, servants of the politicians, with little mention of the Force itself." And Yoda says, "Mysterious, the Force remains to many, and misunderstood, those who use the Force often are." And Qui-Gon says, "And yet, our actions are a reflection of our purpose. Perhaps the Jedi Council residing here in the capital is part of the problem. We are used as a weapon of the Republic, and thus we're seen as such, perhaps even by ourselves." On this point, the Council would not agree, Yoda says. And Qui-Gon says, "Of course, but be it the Council or myself, I feel like there is a loss of vision." And Yoda says, "When questions we have, a deeper understanding from the Force we must seek." And Qui-Gon says, "We agree on that, Master Yoda." Qui-Gon then decides to let the Force show him his way, and decides to just to go off somewhere completely random. So he gets into his Jedi Starfighter with an astromech, and just basically asks him to go into hyperspace, and he closes his eyes with the Force, and then waits to jump out of hyperspace when he feels like it's right. They get to a planet that's unidentified. Qui-Gon comments on the fact that it's been discovered before, but because there's not really anything of importance on there, it's just never really been identified, so it's just kind of been left. And there's no technology on the planet, but there is an abundance of life. He lands on the planet and walks around, and the plants, they kind of look like they're meant to be underwater. They're sort of corally sort of style. That's how they all sort of look. And Qui-Gon's walking around, and the colours are quite pastel-y colours, but like the ground is blue and the plants are like pink and things. So it's slightly different to what we're used to, but it's still standard-ish. Until Qui-Gon starts to sense the dark side and some sort of coldness. And as he's walking, he sees that the ground from which when it was sort of bluey and things is starting to go a darker red and seems to be harder than it was before. And then he sees these spires and thorns twisting around things and growing out the ground and consuming things as well. Qui-Gon comments on the fact that he can sense the dark side of the Force, and he's wondering why the Force brought him there. Does he need to destroy the dark side, or does he need to learn from it? And he continues on his walks, and eventually he comes to this strange structure of spirals and thorns and things, and he goes in there, and he sees there's a few stairs, and then there's like a seat, like a throne sort of thing. So he goes up there and sits down and meditates. Now, Qui-Gon sees a Force vision, which is actually quite a cool one. He gets surrounded by these humanoid beings that are made out of those vines, sort of thorn spirally things, and are red. And they start to try and attack or surround Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon pulls out his saber and slices through all of them quite easily. And then when they fall to the floor and they're all gone, they then change from these red, thorny people to Jedi that he kind of recognises. The red vines then consume Qui-Gon and start going around him and piercing and going in his mouth and all kinds of other stuff. And then he screams and he's kind of awake, sat in this chair in this place. And he notices that there's light has crept into where he sat. And the vines and the red dark side stuff are slowly starting to kind of go away a little bit. He then comments that violence clearly sows the seeds of the dark side. And using violence to solve any problems are going to eventually cause pain and trouble. And he says that if they're unchecked, the Jedi could become exactly what they decide to fight against, which is a problem. Back on Coruscant, Qui-Gon speaks to her, telling her to find some allies on Coruscant. There's going to be loads of people who support her cause and want to help her and things, because she says that the Metal Clan are trying to amass an army. And he says, look, if you come here and you try and amass one too, you get some allies, you will be able to combat him, and I'm sure you'll succeed. And then the last part of the comic is another Yoda and Qui-Gon conversation, so I'm going to read that to you now. Starts with Yoda. Answers, did you find? I did. And as often is with the Force, more questions. Good questions are. Ask them, we must. Certainty in our understanding, to arrogance it leads, to the dark side. And yet becoming too rigid is also a risk. The tree that won't bend will snap with the wind. Ever present, the dark side is, and a threat always. Bend to it, we must not. Of course not, Master Yoda. The dark side consumes, and there is no balance to be found in such a path. And what is our purpose, if not balance? And that's where the comic ends. And, you know, these one-shot comics, they are fun, they are cool. This one is especially good because it gets into a little bit of the Force, and the Force vision that Qui-Gon has is actually really cool. As I say with all these comics, I try and give you like a good understanding of the narrative in case you don't want to read them, but I always encourage people to read them because I can't express how things look visually, and I don't really want to sit here and try and explain things visually. It's too much effort, and it won't be very satisfying for you guys either. But it's a really cool comic. It just helps. Qui-Gon is ahead of the curve quite a lot, and you know, Yoda is a really cool character and he is very wise, but the abstinence from the dark side that the prequel era Jedi always show, which is, you know, don't talk about the dark side, don't really, apart from saying don't go to it, and that, you know, fear and jealousy and anger will lead to the dark side, apart from saying that, they don't really address the dark side much. And obviously Qui-Gon's vision shows that try and solve problems without violence, and that will bring some balance, and then once you have balance you can keep the dark side and the light side in check. And this is obviously foreshadowing for the Clone Wars, because the Clone Wars is exactly that. The Jedi were using violence to solve their problems. Granted, it was violence against droids for the most part, but it's still using violence rather than trying to find other ways to solve the problem, and in doing so they then essentially made themselves die. Obviously Order 66 and all the crazy plans orchestrated by Palpatine was definitely the key thing that did that, but if the Jedi were noble in the ways they should have been, if they didn't go off and fight loads of wars, if they did on this, if they'd done that, maybe they wouldn't have been perceived by the public in the same way and things wouldn't have got accepted so quickly. I do want to clarify, I don't know what the Jedi should have done in the position of the Clone Wars, because Palpatine cleverly put them in that position of either you fight and you become bad guys because you're vilified from fighting, or you don't fight, and then you're seen as pacifist, and you're not seen as trying to help the galaxy. So, difficult position to be in, but it is very interesting reading a lot of the stuff before prequel movies, or in between them, which does allude to what is going to happen. I always like that sort of thing. So moving on to the second half of this episode, we are now going to speak about the Obi-Wan Kenobi Age of Republic comic, and this one is called Mission. As I said, this one was released in January 2019, and the Heroes trade paperback was May 2019, and the hardcover of Heroes and Villains for Age of Republic was February 2020. A bit of info about Obi-Wan. He was born 57 BBY on the planet Stujon, which made him about 25 years old in The Phantom Menace. For clarity, Anakin was born in 41 BBY. He was about 9 in The Phantom Menace. And also, when Obi-Wan dies in Episode 4, he's 57, and when Anakin dies in Episode 6, he is 45. I want to get you all that information. I mean, as I would say, go back and listen to some of the previous episodes. I did the one with Obi-Wan and Anakin, which was Episode 11, and I do give more background information about Obi-Wan and Anakin and that sort of thing there. Plus, it's what they got up to between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. And this comic is another one of those, essentially. I believe this comic is slightly before the Obi-Wan and Anakin comics, I think. Anakin doesn't appear to have a lightsaber in this one, and in the Obi-Wan Anakin ones he does, so I believe that that is a general idea of this was probably set slightly before that. It's a good comic. It's not, this one I would not say is like amazing. It is good. It's not as good as the Qui-Gon one, but I would say it's almost like a reduced version of the Obi-Wan and Anakin miniseries comics. So the opening crawl is a bit more than the Qui-Gon crawl was, but it's still not huge. So, Obi-Wan Kenobi in Mission. Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi made a promise to his dying master to train Anakin Skywalker, thought to be the chosen one of legend, long prophesied to bring balance between the light and dark sides of the Force. But both Obi-Wan and Anakin are still adjusting to their roles as teacher and student. Now there is once again a monologue in this one from, thinking about it, I wonder if all the Age of Republic ones have monologues from the, or most Age of Republic Rebellion Resistance have monologues from the character they're centred around. I'll have to look into that. I'm not sure if that's completely true. It just seems like, obviously, with the Dooku one, it was the case, and the Qui-Gon one, and the Obi-Wan one, I'm pretty certain the Darth Maul one too, so, oh, maybe that's a thing. Maybe I'll know when I finish them all, and meta to kind of look at them all. So the comic starts with Anakin and Obi-Wan meditating together. Obi-Wan's just kind of trying to get Anakin to focus. He's managing to balance these pebbles in like an upside down triangle, and while Obi-Wan's meditating, he's just kind of thinking to himself about how if circumstances were different, he wouldn't have taken a Padawan on so early, and has little flashbacks to, you know, Qui-Gon being killed by Darth Maul and that sort of thing. And then when they're in the meditation room, Master Tosan enters and gives Obi-Wan a mission from the Jedi Council. Now, Tosan has only been in two pieces of canon content, first of which he actually started in a mobile game called Galaxy of Heroes, and she was actually just mentioned as Jedi Guardian. She had a double-ended yellow lightsaber, and then in this comic she's been identified as Master Tosan. She is a Zygerian, and Zygerians, they're basically, they're like feline humanoids in a lot of ways. They're identified under the feline sort of genus in Star Wars, and Zygerians, the main place that I've seen them is in Clone Wars, the series. I can't remember what series it was, I think it was like 3 or 4. There's an arc about slavers, about Zygerian slavers, and Anakin gets quite upset about this whole slaver thing, and one of the main antagonists is a Zygerian slaver, so you basically get to see them there. And the Zygerian Empire basically had like a slave empire, and then they had this big war with the Jedi like centuries, if not millennia ago, and then it basically destroyed most of their slaving empire, but at the time of Clone Wars, they're trying to basically get it back. But that doesn't mean all Zygerians are bad, for clarity, because Master Tosan, she hasn't seemingly done anything. She has given Obi-Wan this mission, and she was in a video game, and that is really all she's done. But yeah, that's just a bit of information about Zygerians. So, Master Tosan gives Obi-Wan a mission to retrieve a holocron from an archaeologist. Jedi holocrons, they're in Rebels, I think they're in Clone Wars as well, they're in other Star Wars content, but it's basically, for the most part, it's like a square that looks a bit like a Rubik's Cube, but it's blue on the inside, kind of see-through, and can only be opened with someone who is a Jedi and is, you know, Force-sensitive and is able to open that. They did feature in the comics as well, in the first, I think, Star Wars collection, the Skywalker Strikes, I think the first book, which I tackled ages ago on the show. In that, Luke goes into the room of Gracchus the Hutt, who's got loads of Jedi holocrons and things. So, holocrons are quite common. They're in, one of the main things is Rebels is probably the best show of holocrons, because there's like whole arcs about holocrons and stuff. But yeah. And Anakin says to Obi-Wan, oh, that you're leaving again. And Obi-Wan says, well, Anakin can train with Yoda again. And Anakin says, we're training with Yoda, it's just they're all little kids and things, and he's so far ahead of them. Then it cuts to a library where Obi-Wan is searching the Jedi archives for Dalinar, and Dalinar doesn't really seem to show up anywhere else. And Dalinar, there doesn't seem to be any records of Jedi visiting. It appears that the names have been lost to time. There's been records of people going there in general, but not specifically Jedi, and the planet is discovered. It's just, yeah, it's been ages ago. And Yoda seems to randomly pop up and says to Obi-Wan that, yeah, the names were lost to time, and so it'd be good to go, but also he should take Anakin on a mission with him. And Obi-Wan says that he's not really sure if he's ready, and Yoda says, you need to believe in him first. If he gets the belief of his master, I'm sure he'll be able to push on. And Obi-Wan's like, but, you know, isn't it a bit early? Isn't it a bit this? And Yoda says, you know, because he's the chosen one, apparently, and the circumstances are different, we need to be very careful on how we train him, and, you know, we need to make sure we train him well. So Obi-Wan takes Anakin on the mission with him, and in the ride there, Anakin asks Obi-Wan about life before the Jedi Temple, what he can remember, and Obi-Wan says he can't really remember anything because he was picked up at such a young age. And Anakin obviously struggles with that, because when Anakin was about 9, he already had like a life before the Jedi, which most younglings don't actually have. Obi-Wan says that Qui-Gon chose Anakin, you know, and that's the reason they're there, and that's the reason they're together. And Anakin says, yeah, but he died, and then you got stuck with me, and then kind of walks off. On the planet of Dalinar, Obi-Wan and Anakin get off their ship and meet with the individual they're there to meet, and it's a character called Clatriff, and she is a Togruta. Togruta is the same as Ahsoka Tano from the Clone Wars, as well as Shark T, who is in various Star Wars content as well. They're basically individuals who have slightly different colour skin, generally more like pinky or orangey or red. They have then circles around their eyes that are normally white or other colours, or like on their face they have like pigmentation markings and things, and they have montrals, which are like tentacle things that start sort of go around, all around their head and come down to their neck. And for Clouty, Togruta are generally from Shili, and there's also like a colony of them on Kyros. And Clatriff said the reason that she contacted the Jedi Order is she wants the holocron gone because it's causing trouble. And she elaborates that the pirates have been causing issues. They saw some sort of excavational dig. They went in there, tried to steal some stuff, but there was nothing of any real value apart from to people who are in the field of archaeology, so they kind of left, and then they heard about the holocron, and then they decided that they want it, so they're going to come back for a second look and try and get it. So Obi-Wan says he wants to come and take a look at the object they found to verify whether or not it is a holocron, and he asks Anakin to keep watch. Obi-Wan speaks to Clatriff, and she lets him take the holocron. And then as she says she's interested to find out who it belongs to, Anakin runs in and says that the pirates are here. As Obi-Wan leaves, this may be my favourite part of the comic, which is quite sad, as Obi-Wan leaves the sort of archaeological site and comes out to face the pirates, the first thing he says is hello there, which I love. And it's also a fun fact that hello there is the very first thing you ever hear Obi-Wan say ever, which was in episode 4. We are obviously originally called Star Wars, but A New Hope. Yeah, the first thing Obi-Wan, as Alec Guinness says, is hello there. And obviously everyone knows that iconic line from Revenge of the Sith when he jumps down on Utapau to approach Grievous and says hello there. Oh, I just like saying it. It makes me happy. So these sort of pirates approach, they're called the Crypt Deriders, or maybe pronouncing it wrong, and they approach him, and there's a leader of them called Hudso Shaku. They seem to be natives, and from what I can see online, they're not mentioned anywhere else, so they're just basically people from that era. They kind of look like bird people, almost. They don't quite have a big beak, necessarily, but they're feathered. They threaten Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan ignites his lightsaber, saying that the intentions on this planet are purely peaceful, however, if you attack, then they will defend themselves. Hudso then yells out and says, forget the holocron, I want the laser sword. Then there's this really cool montage of Obi-Wan just destroying all of them, essentially. Obviously, he doesn't kill any of them. He force pushes a few, he slashes some of their weapons up, and basically just disarms and incapacitates them. As it's happening, Hudso manages to grab Anakin from behind, holds him in a headlock with a gun to his head, and is basically threatening Obi-Wan to give over his laser sword. And Anakin uses the force to lift up some rocks nearby and smack into the side of Hudso, knocking him out. And then Obi-Wan threatens to release Anakin onto all of the rest of the pirates if they don't all run away and escape. Because there's like a couple left, sort of, after you see Hudso grab Anakin. There's a couple. And then it goes back to Anakin and Obi-Wan speaking while in the ship on the way back to Coruscant. And I'm just going to read their exchange because it's the last part of the comic. Starting with Obi-Wan. You handled yourself admirably, Anakin. You have nothing to apologize for. I froze up. I let myself get caught. I thought I was ready to come with you, but I wasn't. Anakin, you were ready. Long before today, I'm the one who wasn't. What you said earlier about me being stuck with you as an apprentice? I suppose I felt that it was you who was stuck with me as your teacher. Qui-Gon was a great Jedi. He still fell before the Sith. And if I couldn't save a great master, how could I save a Padawan? And Anakin says, then we'll save each other. Isn't that what Master Qui-Gon would have wanted? I believe it is. Now, if I recall, you said something about wanting to pilot the ship? Yes! That's their exchange, and then there's four little bubbles of Obi-Wan from his inner mind I'm just going to read. Master Yoda said, we never stop learning. Perhaps the Master is meant to be as much a student as the Padawan. I may not be the teacher that Qui-Gon was, but I am the one that Anakin has, and I won't fail him again. I did make a promise after all. And that, my friends, is the end of the Age of Republic comics for both Qui-Gon and for Obi-Wan. I have tackled the Count Dooku one before, which is on the sort of bio episode I did on Count Dooku, and I tackled the Darth Maul one on the, I think, second or so episode of Star Wars Comics in Canon, so I won't be tackling them again. In the future, I will be tackling the Star Wars Age of Republic special, which I think has Rex, Mace Windu, Asajj Ventress, and maybe even Jar Jar in it, and then also the Padme one, and then I'll also tackle the Jango Fett one and the Grievous one. That'll probably be like next month or something like that. I haven't fully decided yet. But just so you guys know, for coming up next week, I'm going to be doing the Journals of Old Ben Kenobi. They're the ones which are within the main run of Star Wars comics that I had skipped until I got to the end of them. We've got to the end of them. So there's three full comics there, and then there's like a mini comic in, I think, the 37th issue of Star Wars as well. So there's going to be like 3.5 to 4 stories there. Then the week after that, I'm planning on doing the main run of Star Wars comics continuation, which is volume 5, and it's called Yoda's Secret War, and it's the last one before the Screaming Citadel Aphra crossover event, which is quite exciting. I haven't actually read Yoda's Secret War as of yet, because I started reading the Star Wars comics at the time of the Screaming Citadel came out, so all the ones that I've tackled on the show thus far of just the main run of Star Wars comics, I haven't read before, so it's quite exciting for me. The Yoda Secret War, it's basically set, it is Luke reading Obi-Wan's old journals, and then within that, Obi-Wan tells of a time where Yoda was doing something before The Phantom Menace, is what I'm pretty certain it is. So that's quite exciting. I think that's 4 or 5 issues of that, so I'm quite excited to read that. Then the week after that is I'm going to do a rundown on Dr. Aphra Volume 1, because although myself and Tony spoke about Dr. Aphra in last episode, we didn't do a big breakdown of the whole first volume, which is what I like to do. So I'll do a breakdown of the volume of Aphra. Then the week after that, I have not decided fully what I'm going to do. There's more Age of Republic I could do. I might do the Lando Double or Nothing comic. I might do the TIE Fighter comic. I may do Vader Dark Visions. So a few things to choose from. And then after that, I will probably do the Screaming Citadel episode 36. And that's generally how far you can see for now. After Screaming Citadel, I'll then figure out if I'm going to do Aphra next or continue the main run of Star Wars comics. I don't really know. But that's what you can expect from me coming forward, guys. And the only other things really left to say is to check out every other show on the great feed of Comics in Motion, and then also to check out my other show, Genuine Chit Chat. You can find YouTube versions of the first 5 episodes of Star Wars Comics in Canon on the Genuine Chit Chat YouTube channel. Obviously, it's not up to date as of yet. I'm trying to do 1 or 2 a week, so eventually I'll be fully caught up. But basically, Genuine Chit Chat, the YouTube channel, has my main podcast, Genuine Chit Chat, on it, as well as some things from Star Wars Comics and Canon. However, I would recommend that anyone who listens to Genuine Chit Chat, listen wherever you're listening to this one right now. All the episodes of Genuine Chit Chat are on YouTube. All the episodes are also on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, I think Acast, iHeartRadio, all those sorts of other places. So yeah, check it out. I have a different guest on every episode, and the one I did with Tony, Star Wars Comics and Canon, last week, that's very similar to the kind of things that I do on Genuine Chit Chat. But don't worry, on Genuine Chit Chat, it's not actually very Star Wars related for the majority of the time. But yeah, thought I'd plug that, as I often do, and follow me on social media at Genuine Chit Chat on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. Thank you so much, as always, for listening, guys. Be sure to check out in the show notes where I've got all the other things I've been getting up to recently, like the Scott Pilgrim episode of the TV and movie show on Comics in Motion. I am going on Indie Comics Spotlight in like a month or so. I went on Comics on Trial and defended Phantom Menace against Scott Weatherly. That's also on this very feed. Lots of different things that you can find me doing, and it's all in the show notes. Anyway, guys, thank you, as always, for listening. I will talk to you next Saturday, and as always, may the Force be with you. The intro for Star Wars Comics and Canon is arranged by myself, Mike Burton, and the backing music was made by Eric Matias of soundimage.org.
Comics in Motion is thrilled to be partnering with Humble to become Humble partners. If you follow the link in the show notes, you'll be taken to Humble Bundle, where you can get some access to some amazing stuff. Digital comics, digital books, video games, coding manuals. The amount of stuff that you can get there is obscene. Plus, you get it at a ridiculous discount. So here's what you need to do. Click that link, go to Humble Bundle. Not only are you going to get great stuff at a great deal, but you're also going to support a charity and you're going to help Comics in Motion keep the lights on. So click the link, go to Humble Bundle, get yourself some amazing stuff. Thanks. This week, Comics in Motion has an excellent offer exclusively for our listeners. TKO Comics is revolutionizing the comic industry. They have creator-owned series from heavy hitters like Garth Ennis, Jeff Lemire, Joshua Desart, Roxane Gay, and many more. If you go to tkopresents.com/discount/motion20 and use the code MOTION20 at checkout, you'll receive a 20% discount exclusively for Comics in Motion listeners. That's tkopresent.com/discount/motion20 and use the promo code MOTION20. Happy reading!